If you've got a Bible, it'd be helpful to turn with me to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1. I'm going to read the first 7 verses. So Proverbs chapter 1. Let's listen to God's word. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to youth. Let the wise hear increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Amen. Let's pray. Let's ask God to speak to us through his word this evening. Dear Father, we thank you that these words we've just read are not man-made words. Yes, you used human beings to record these words, but these words are scripture. They're holy words. They're your words. That your word contains wisdom, spiritual wisdom for godly living. And we pray as we study a word now that you would speak to each one of us. Increase our mind with a greater knowledge of you, and increase our heart with a greater love for you. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus Christ's lovely name. Amen. Now, our Association of Baptist Churches has been going for 121 years. It didn't used to always be called the Association. At one stage, it was the Baptist Union in Ireland. And Dave, there are 6 people who have done your role before you. 6 people. It used to be known as the secretary, the union secretary. So that means you're the 7th person, Dave. 7 is the perfect number, they say. We'd have to be a Carrick man who was the perfect association director. And how many people might say to you, Dave, you're very young for this role. You're still in your 30s. You're a young man. You're not actually the youngest person to have undertaken this role. One of your predecessors, Joshua Thompson, was 29 when he stepped in, and he served in the role of secretary to the union for 25 years. Joshua Thompson actually wrote a history of the Baptist Union in Ireland for its centenary back in 1995. I've read that book because I'm sad. That's one of the things I'm interested in, association history. But I came across a very interesting quotation from a man who had undertaken Dave's role for 25 years. This is what Joshua Thompson said. He said, "The post of Union Secretary, now Association Director, has always been a stressful one. Calling for clear-headed leadership and spiritual insight, able to cope with the rugged independence of Irish Baptist churches and the not inconsiderable task of coordinating a host of activities." Maybe that's not what you want to hear tonight, Cara, never mind Dave. It's always been a stressful one. Calls for clear-headed leadership. You lead all the different departments, bringing churches together. Calls for spiritual insight as you work with all these independent churches and hosting lots of different activities. Not an easy task, but what you're stepping into, Dave, is a very important task. We have a great association. Leslie has said that tonight. Billy has said that. Dave has said that. I want to say that as well. I want to speak firsthand. I worked for the Baptist Association with Baptist Youth for 5.5 years. 5.5 wonderful years. I worked with the Amazing Journey Schools Project, working with different churches every single week. Now, my role within the association was an easy role because my role was full of repetition. I basically did the same thing every day. Now, I went to a different area and I worked in a different school with different churches, but I basically did the same thing every day. I just give a Bible presentation to school children, full of repetition. Your role, Dave, is very different because your role is going to be full of diversity, from handling finances, dealing with accounts, writing documents, sitting on committees. Billy's told us he's been in the role for 22 years. I wonder, Billy, over those 22 years, how many hours have you spent in committee meetings? Often in the evenings, because we're dealing with volunteers. Often when other people have finished the day's work, going for hours and hours of committee meetings. Been an interesting statistic to work out how many hours you've spent. We as Baptists don't believe in purgatory. Maybe Billy does believe in purgatory after all those committee meetings that he's been through. Your role, Dave, is also going to be spent dealing with issues. You're going to be a bit like the fire brigade. One of our elders, Stanley, was a firefighter. You know all about this. You only call the fire brigade when there's a problem. And maybe a lot of the phone calls coming through in the association when there's a problem in a church. You're going to spend your time dealing with firefighting, helping churches, helping pastors, and giving leadership to our different departments, women and youth, our mission, our training department as well. It's a diverse role, and you need a multitude of skills. But I was thinking about this. You need a multitude of skills to perform this role, but what do you need most? And as I thought about that, there was one thing came to mind, and Leslie's already mentioned it. Great, we're on the same wavelength, and you mentioned it twice in your response, Dave, and it was wisdom. Spiritual wisdom is what's required to fulfill the role of association director. And hopefully that word will come up on the screen as well. Thanks, Joe. You need lots of knowledge. You need knowledge of finance, how to do the books. You've got that from your accountancy background. You need a knowledge of legal things. You need a knowledge of our churches and the diversity and all the different personalities. You need a knowledge of the different departments. But there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. There's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. And I think this funny quotation that's going to come up on the screen helps to make this point. Small writing, I hope you can see it. Miles Kington, a journalist, put these words. Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. I didn't actually know that, so I'm not very knowledgeable. Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad. And that's the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Wisdom is not just knowing the right thing. It's knowing the right thing to do. When to speak and when to be silent. When to act and when to wait. When to move and when to stay. In life, some people are wise and some people are otherwise. There's a lot in this book of Proverbs we've read from. It contrasts the wise person and it contrasts it with the fool. And there's lots of smart people. You might know them. There's lots of smart people who are actually very foolish. They might know a lot of things in their mind, but they lack a lot of wisdom to do the right thing at the right time. And your role, Dave, will need lots of wisdom, not just human wisdom, not just things you've picked up through working for quite a few years, being around our churches. What you actually need is spiritual wisdom. You need godly wisdom. And where do you find it? Well, let's all take a look, closer look at this passage. And I've just said, let's all take a closer look at the passage, not just Dave Ramsey, because Dave needs spiritual wisdom. But if you're a believer here tonight, don't we all need spiritual wisdom? We all need spiritual wisdom, maybe to be a parent, maybe to be a spouse, to be an employee, to be a school pupil in a classroom, to be a member of a church, to be a leader in the church. We all need spiritual wisdom. And this short passage, 7 verses that I've read, I'm going to split it up into 3 different parts, 3 different sections. It starts with the title, first verse, and then it explains the purpose of this book, Proverbs, why the Proverbs are given. And then we come to the motto verse, the most well-known verse in the whole book of Proverbs. It starts with the title in verse 1. Let's read those words again. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. So it's a book of Proverbs. What's a proverb? I think we can all spot a proverb when we see one. But if I was to call you up to the front this evening and say, give me a definition, tell me exactly what a proverb is, I wonder what you'd say. We all know what it is. We can all spot one, but it's a little bit harder to define. I like the way one person put it. One person put it this way. A proverb is a short sentence founded on long experience. I like that. It's a short sentence founded on long experience. Somebody else has put it this way. A proverb is a bite-sized bit of wisdom. It's a bite-sized bit of wisdom, easy to chew, easy to get your teeth into, but it actually has a flavor and a taste that lingers on. Small, pithy statement that has great meat involved in it. The title here, verse 1, tells us that this book is by Solomon. He's not the only author. The majority of the Proverbs included here were written by Solomon. He makes up the core of the book, but he's not the only person who has Proverbs here. But we're Baptists here this evening. And as Baptists, we have a statement of faith. We have a statement of faith that all 117 churches in our association ascribe to. We as a church ascribe to that statement of faith as well. In fact, just before Christmas, I preached through that. We preached through all 10 sections of our statement of faith so that we knew what we believed and why we believe. And what's the first point in our Association of Baptist Churches statement of faith? It says, we believe in the verbal inspiration of Scripture. That's where everything else flows from. We believe in the verbal inspiration of Scripture. We actually believe that this book is the Word of God. And we believe this is the book that God speaks to us through. This is God's revelation to us. And although Solomon may be the human author, the person who penned these Proverbs, it is God who was speaking through Solomon. This book is God's wisdom. And because God's wisdom is contained in this book, we need to read it. And then he moves on to the purpose why these Proverbs were given. Look at verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight. The word wisdom actually means a skill. That's what it literally means. If you have wisdom, you have a skill. So back in the Old Testament, they wanted to build a tabernacle. It was God's plan, God's design. And as we read the account of that, there were certain men who were set aside, craftsmen. Craftsmen to build this tabernacle where the people would come and bring their sacrifices, where God's presence would dwell in the people. God set aside these craftsmen, and it says that he gave them wisdom for fulfilling the task. That word wisdom means that God gave them the skill for doing what God wanted them to do. It's really what wisdom is. Wisdom is a skill, and it's a skill to do the right thing. It's the skill to act appropriately. And wisdom is not merely academic, lots of stuff stuck up in our heads. Do you know what wisdom is? It's primarily moral. Doing the right thing, and it's relational as well. How we act and we treat people and do the right thing. How to deal with people in the right way. We see that in verse 3. To receive instruction in wise dealing. Dealing with other people in righteousness, in justice, in equity. Dealing with people in the right way. You were not born wise, Dave. I know Valerie might disagree with us tonight. None of us are born wise. Something that develops, hopefully it develops, as we mature in our faith. It doesn't come with a job. I'm sure Billy doesn't have a folder with wisdom on the front of it. And when the day he leaves, he'll hand you the folder. There's all the wisdom you need. Just read it. Just turn out this folder whenever you need it. You need God to give you that wisdom, Dave. The way he set those craftsmen aside in the Old Testament, and he gave them that skill, he gave them that wisdom, you need God to give it to him. And you need to willingly receive it as well. That's what verse 3 says. To receive instruction. To receive instruction in wise dealing. The idea here is of disciplined learning. Somebody who's got open ears, open mind, and an open heart to receive these words of wisdom. Do you want to be wise, Dave? I think you do, because you mentioned that. You asked us twice in your response for the spiritual wisdom. And you asked us as a congregation to pray that you would have spiritual wisdom. Let's pray for Dave, but Dave, also seek after it. And seek after it in God's word as well. You may not be a pastor. This is a bit like an induction service tonight. It's different from a lot of these induction services that happen around our churches. You're not a pastor. You're not going to spend the majority of your time in Bible study and preparing sermons the way a pastor would. But you do need to spend time in God's word. Because you need spiritual wisdom for this task. You need to read it, and you need to study it. You need to meditate upon God's word and memorize it. Let it become part of your mind and your heart and your soul. You need to be guided by God's word. And verse 4 says that one of the purposes of these Proverbs is to help the simple. Now let's be honest, Dave, you are simple. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. Simple doesn't mean here stupid, the way we sometimes think somebody's simple, a little bit stupid. What the word really means here, this word simple, it means naive. And whenever you start any new job, everybody starts a new job naive. They don't fully know what's involved. They haven't gone through the different experiences. They don't know what's going to happen. Everybody starts a job simple. They start a job naive. But the great thing is that God can help us. Verse 4, to give prudence to the simple, to the naive, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Mentions youth there. I also mentioned you're not the youngest person to take on this role, but you're younger than most, and you're still quite young to take on this responsibility. But God can provide wisdom here even to the youth, knowledge and discretion to the youth. In fact, wisdom is for everybody. Nobody is ever full of wisdom. Nobody ever gets to the stage where says, I've got all the wisdom I need. There's nothing else I lack. I've got all the wisdom that I could possibly have. There is always room for more. Look at verse 5. Let the wise hear and increase in learning. If you're already wise, you can still increase in your wisdom and your knowledge as well. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. You were appointed to this role, Dave, because people identified that you already were wise. They saw how you handled the Baptist Youth Department for over 10 years, how you handled that wisely and in a godly way. That prepared you for stepping into this role. People saw that, how you left that department in a very strong position. We as a local church identified spiritual wisdom in you. That's why we set you aside as a church elder. You served in that role for a number of years. We've already spotted wisdom in your character. But the reality is we never exhaust wisdom. We can always, always be wiser. So never stop, Dave. Never stop seeking wisdom. Never stop seeking to increase in godly spiritual wisdom. And then this section finishes with the motto verse in verse 7, the most well-known, possibly the key verse here of the whole book. Let me read verse 7 to you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. See, wisdom's not just a matter of the mind. Wisdom is actually a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. Fear of the Lord is an interesting phrase. I wonder what you think of that when you hear that phrase, fear of the Lord. When we think of fear, we think of a real anxiety against something. Oh, fear spiders, fear snakes, I wonder what your fears are. That's often the way we associate this phrase. But it means something different here. Fear of the Lord means reverential fear. It means putting God in his rightful place. It means seeing God as who he really is. He's the Lord of all. And it was John the Baptist who said, he must increase, I must decrease. That was reverential fear. He realized who the Lord was. And he wanted to put the Lord in the right place. He must increase. He must be the focus, not me. Not me. I'm not dependent on myself. There's one who is greater than me. That's what the fear of the Lord is. And we need, if we're believers, we need to continually fear the Lord. We need to continually put him in his rightful place. Because it encourages us to depend not on our own strength, but to depend on one who is greater than us. Because the Lord is the source of all true wisdom. We find that in his word. We've mentioned that already. This is God's inspired word. And so you need to spend time in his word. But we also find God's wisdom in the one who is the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as he led started our service this morning by reading John 1, where it talks about Jesus Christ being the Word who lived here amongst us, the Word who is God, the Word who became flesh. And Jesus Christ is the one who exemplifies the perfect wisdom of God. Let me read some verses from the book of Colossians. Our morning series is in the book of Colossians. We're in chapter 1 this morning. In a few weeks' time, we'll get to chapter 2. But listen to these words from Colossians 2 and verse 3. It's talking about Jesus Christ here, because the book of Colossians is all about Christ. Colossians 2 and verse 3. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's what we find in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, we find hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge aren't just scrap bits of rubbish. Who cares if you get them? Wisdom and knowledge are treasures. Glorious treasures we want to grasp hold of. And we find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge hidden in Christ Jesus. Dave, do you want to be wise? Do you really want this spiritual wisdom? Do you want these treasures? Well, fear the Lord. Put him in his rightful place. And then, as the writer of the Hebrews said, fix your eyes on Jesus Christ. Fix your eyes on Christ, the author, perfecter of your faith, because all the treasures of knowledge and wisdom are found in him. Dave, you're taking on a responsible role. You're taking on a spiritual role. We, your church, we want to pray for you. Can I say that to the members of the church? We say this tonight, but do remember Dave in your prayers, and Cara, and Hannah, and Leah as well. Pray that Dave would gain wisdom, that he would gain godly wisdom, and he would serve our association well. But let's all be real. It's not only Dave Ramsey who needs spiritual wisdom. We all need spiritual wisdom, don't we? Maybe you're here this evening, some of our younger folks, you're still at school. You need wisdom. If you're a Christian, you need spiritual wisdom. How to live in a school classroom and how to interact with people and live as a Christian in that kind of situation. You need spiritual wisdom for living in your home, of keeping that relationship with your parents. You need spiritual wisdom for that. Some here tonight are students. You're at university. That's an interesting time of life. Great days, all the freedoms you've got, all the different people you're meeting, all the opportunities you have. You need spiritual wisdom to live a godly life in that place. You need spiritual wisdom to make godly decisions, maybe as you seek the Lord's will for the future as well. Maybe you're here tonight, you're an employee, you're heading off tomorrow morning to work. Sorry to remind you about that. But you're going to head into a work situation. You need spiritual wisdom for that, don't you? To live as a godly employee, to interact with people, to do your best. All of us are family members. Maybe we're married, or we've got siblings, or parents, or whatever, grandchildren. One of the quick first lessons I learned in pastoral ministry is wherever you get people, you get problems, and there's problems in every family. And you need spiritual wisdom to live in your family and to be godly there as well. Maybe you're retired. Maybe you've left work and you're rejoicing in that fact. You need spiritual wisdom. How are you going to manage your time? What are you going to do with your life at the stage where your life's at? Maybe you're a member of this church. You need spiritual wisdom. How you're going to conduct yourself, how you're going to interact with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Maybe you're involved in a ministry in their church. Maybe you're a leader of a ministry. You need spiritual wisdom. We all need godly wisdom to live for the Lord and to serve Him as well. So this evening, let's all fear the Lord. Let's all look to His Word. Let's read it, let's study it, let's meditate it, because we want to know more about the Lord and we want to know more of His godly wisdom. And let's look to the Lord as well. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Let's pray. Dear Father, we do pray for these words. We thank you that wisdom isn't something that's beyond us. So you can give wisdom. You can give godly wisdom to each one of us if we ask for it and we seek for it. And we pray that we would do that. Help us to fear the Lord, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. Help us to put you in the rightful place. Lord of all, may you increase and may we decrease. And so we're not dependent on ourselves and our own knowledge and our own gifts and abilities, but we constantly look to you. And Lord, give us wisdom and knowledge to live godly lives. We pray for Dave. Give him wisdom to serve you through association and to serve you in a godly way. We pray for Cara, and we pray you give her wisdom. Wisdom as she supports Dave. Wisdom as she bears that responsibility for caring for Hannah and for Leah, and being a part of this church as well. We pray you bless them as a family. But for all of us, may we seek this wisdom. May we look to your word. May we look to the Lord. Help us, we pray. And we ask this in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen.